All right.
For the record, this is not the Hyperledger Fabric Architecture Working Group, but the Hyperledger Architecture Working
Group. Okay. Then it's still very relevant, I think, also to other types of ledgers. I mean, maybe not Indy, but generally, or Indy is basically not a ledger too. But okay, I the background of my work is, or the most time that I was working was is basically Fabric, and I had a short look, or we are doing one project with Indy. Why is it advancing by itself? Basically, that's not a nice question. No, go back. Today, somehow, this thing is playing games with me.
Michael, you can just exit. Yeah, if you can exit the slideshow and just go to full screen, you'll be fine.
Okay, then we'll do this. I basically never wanted it to advance on its own. Fine. Now, why am I here? First of all, thanks for hosting me. Then the second thing, I'm from a company which does projects with different blockchain technologies, and Fabric is one of the majors focus points or focus areas. But we also look at the shortcomings that we believe we need to address. And one of those is deletion. We are constantly getting questions about this limitation. And projects so far that I've seen, they are putting sensitive information off chain. Now that's a workaround, and I believe it can be acceptable when the technology is maturing. But I was thinking for some time that I want to address that in a more substantial way. So this is how this topic became what it is. Data growth is one of the drivers for my work on this, and the other one is GDPR, or basically any sensitive PII that's to be stored on chain. And we are a group of people within a larger company, and the company requires me to have this disclaimer, which basically says we do not endorse or recommend project. This is the most important thing. So it's basically a presentation as usual. Very few words about the company. I believe to most people outside of Germany, it's more than unknown. We are the IT partner within the holding that has the transportation and logistics, including local trains, national trains, freight transportation, but also air and stuff like this. So quite a large company. This is why there are so many people working in IT, so more than 4,000. We used to have our own hardware, or to run our own hardware centers, data centers. They are now been sold, and we are mostly in the cloud. And when the blockchain topic came along, it was mostly with the background of integration. So this is not about financial things or any usual blockchain topic associated, such as trade finance. It's more about back office integration in a way. So we also do things, as I said, with Hyperledger India for self-sovereign identity. And one of the major projects that I'm involved with is a control system for railways, the one which ensures that trains don't collide. So far, it's more of a research project, but we are pushing it to scale as well. And this is how I came to two topics which were objections to our idea. One is the partitioning. What happens if the network splits into two parts? This is the other topic, which we may or may not manage to do today. And deletion is the topic which comes up if you have many events coming into the blockchain and you want to discard those which are no longer relevant. So basically,
Michael, it might be useful for all of us if you just give a little bit more context about the use case and what motivates the privacy a little bit. So maybe if you can spend like a couple of minutes on the use case, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, in simpler words, the GDPR and the other things or the other intention associated with this privacy concerns is that humans, or mostly end customers, have the opportunity and the right to request the data that a company stores about them, and within certain within certain acceptable frame, it can also require this data to be deleted. This does not necessarily refer to business-to-business transactions, and more of business-to-consumer transactions, but it also, if an employee is leaving a company and asking that data is to be deleted, then the company can claim certain obligations by law to keep the data for compliance and auditing and other purposes. But basically, in many situations, we have to be able to delete data from a blockchain. Understood. As long as this data is personally identifiable. And now the discussion whether an IP address is personally identifiable or not is not the one which I want to, to encourage, but many, in the worst case, this is also and even hashes, if they are designed in an naive way, will also be mappable back to people, and with certain social engineering, even more is possible. So I don't spend too much time on the details of when it's necessary to be able to delete and when it is not. I just take the pessimistic stance that without this opportunity, a blockchain will have to work around, and those workarounds create complexity in architecture, complexity in code. It may be possible, and I've seen projects doing that, to do this, but then again, data grows. There's nothing that will be easy to steer around. So at some point, if a consortial blockchain is authoritative and it does not need to grow infinitely, then we still need to manage resources effectively. And the use case of BRCS is that we don't do things which are rare. It's more of a, if we wanted to scale, and I can show something actually in my other window maybe. There is a ledger paper, which is publicly, and it's open access, so you can, I hope their website is working today. Yes, it is. So this is an article that we have gone through. It has taken more than a year to publish with all the reviews and stuff. And by the way, it's nothing we paid for. So while it's open access, it's also not a paid for an article. And this explains why we want it to be done. And one of the major reasons is reliability and using blockchain technology for removing single points of failure, and also putting reliable and safe software into cloud-based distributed deployments. And there is a further down, it's a simplified drawing, but it includes things such as train protection, where it comes down to human lives. And I don't want to build the yellow layer is the one that includes core ledger level logic, and it's, again, it's a simplified thing, but those blue components all around it, they are creating heavy data flow, data amounts of data, and this is why I just looked at it. So I think this is I can also post the link afterwards.
That would be great if you can post a link on the chat window. Or
Yes, I can do this actually immediately if I manage to find the right window. Somehow, the thing about Zoom compared to Microsoft Teams is I don't find things as easily. Where did they put the chat? Thank you. Here you go. All right, back to the slides. So far for the motivation. Now, I assume that blockchains by classic designs are append only, so write once, read many. And as such, they do not provide out-of-the-box deletional overwriting. And I've just argued that I believe we need it, and especially when it's PII. And of course, people have thought about this before me, and they've suggested a few complex and very interesting things, such as chameleon caches, which is a cryptographic trapdoor-like mechanism. So you can change the chaining afterwards. So basically, it in different flavors and by different authors, they suggest to create authorities with elevated rights. And through this, the core promise of the blockchain that things cannot be changed by a major party or something without consent, so they get compromised in most of in any approaches that I've seen so far. And I've looked at it and I thought to myself that the combination of append only and deletion, which sounds counterintuitive, should still be possible. And we suggest an architecture level solution which changes the blockchain or a ledger from a single thread or single line of hashed concatenated blocks into a tree of context change. And I'll show an example now. And this tree is structured in a well-defined way, and each part of the tree is, each context chain, each path in the tree is valid simultaneously. So it's not a fork or branches in Ethereum. It's also not not a competition thing. It's also not like an IOTA where you can create blocks concurrently, and if they are one of them is wrong, you can prune them, or you should prune them. It's something that is really, in my view, it's an append only. And then if a context chain becomes deletable, it can be deleted without side effects. And this is, of course, not a perfect solution, and it's it cannot remove the basic fact that if you remove things, that they are removed. So it definitely accepts that data that has been removed is no longer on the chain. But it still combines two major facts. One is that deletion is consensus driven in a systematic way, including veto opportunities, including the understanding of who is enabled and responsible for voting for deletion, and additionally, the construction of this context chain. And I hope that it can be implemented, which has not been done so far, by Fabric or by any other interested ledger. So I'm more than happy that it's not just reduced or restricted to Fabric today. Now, if we look at an example, how does it look like? We need also to understand why I put it on such a level. So even if we look at the fact that storage costs are decreasing, so we might want to defer the scalability issue. And also we might defer the fact that 10-year storage is mandated. So even if a project runs for implementation-wise for a year or maybe two, it leaves behind a legacy, and this legacy is operations. It will be placed on the shoulders of the operators, and they need to understand and to know how things scale. So I decided that it needs more attention and should not be relegated to people in ops part of DevOps. And let's look at a very simple example. It does not show all the complexity, where you have a classic linear blockchain. And I have mixed statements. Now, the example refers to Ethereum for understanding purposes, but it refers to persons or to organizations. There is no built-in cryptocurrency in Hyperledger Fabric, and it's possible to create token-like constructs there. But still, this refers to statements about ethers, which is well possible to do in Hyperledger Fabric. And the problem that this example shows that it mixes up statements or transactions about both organizations and people in one single branch. And what breaks is are two things. One is concatenation. If you delete a block or one transaction, that the concatenation breaks. And the other thing is that it might break the logic or the business consistency of the transactions. They might rely on each other. So when verifying one block, one has to go back in the history. And of course, there are all the mechanisms for simpler or faster, shorter verification. One can use checkpoints in one or other way. One can have a world state that one trusts, which can be checkpointed to, and so on. But so let's look at this example, how it would be turned into a tree of context chains. And this is what it is. So the top becomes the bottom part. So we have the genesis block. And now highlighted in white are the subroots of each context chain, or of each, basically a subtree. It's a linear subtree for now. And I show only the scopes which are relevant at this point, because we have five blocks in the original structure. And now we have five subtrees. This is something which has been objected to, I think, by my colleagues and afterwards too, that this introduces additional overhead in terms of choosing where to place a transaction, and also additional space overhead for storing the subroots. But if we assume that each context chain is more or much more than one transaction pair subtree, then the space overhead becomes negligible. And I also believe that the placing of a transaction can be very fast if transaction context is given explicitly and it doesn't have to be deduced by each and every node. Now, to start with, I designed, or I wrote this in the paper, as a non-branching subtree. So potentially one could arrange the scopes in a hierarchic way. I haven't done so in the paper for now, but basically what happens here, if we have contexts, we can delete one context and it should not be an impact to other ones. Now, this has not been proved formally, and I understand that this might be more complex to implement than the graphic is showing. But my basic message, or my intention also today, is to hear what people experience with different ledgers think of this, of how far this concept could be done and could be implemented. And there's other thing here, is it does not only raise the question of scalability. I've heard time and again that the number of the contexts or of the scopes explodes because it's potentially exponential. Now, that's true. So when I draw all the scopes, which are 2^4, it quickly becomes large. But the fact is that these scopes are created lazily or on demand. And I believe that it's in a consortial environment where you have to store the data anyway, the overheads will not be dramatic. It has to be measured, it has to be simulated to be implemented, but I believe this is manageable. Now, the other thing is, when you, as I mentioned, I didn't want to reinvent the wheel, so I did a very thorough search for related work, and the major alternative is an approach that has been patented. So basically, while I'm not sure how far Accenture will enforce the patent, everyone using this technology has to be aware that sooner or later they might face litigation. And another thing is other approaches to deletion, I believe they are missing the consensus way. So they are allowing deletions to happen without consulting the appropriate parties. And there are many other interesting ideas. One is, for example, to allow after the fact appending to a new branch. So basically, it allows a fork, and using this fork, people can override from the business point of view, but it does not physically remove the data. So it does not help with scaling and does not help with privacy issues. It just helps to update something. But then again, I believe this can be done by just appending a compensation transaction at the very end of the ledger rather than in the middle. So of course, there are also approaches. We just take the classic relational database. This is what BigchainDB does. And they insert or inject mechanisms which shall prohibit against tampering. And as far as I've looked into it, it still has the issue of a malicious administrator who can delete the database or modify it. So it's not a solution which I would recommend personally. Now, this is the very quick walkthrough. I didn't want to indulge into all the considerations of how things are done and how you define the contexts and whether they are ordered or unordered. But basically, I want to hear from you about what you think. Is it just me who hears someone's phone ring?
Apologies. Just a quick question. Could we go to the main slide? When you talk about contexts, it's, yeah, this one is fine or the next one, either one will work. When you talk of context, if I understand right, it's defined by the set of quote unquote relevant parties to a transaction.
Yeah,
is that
where I distinguish between organizations and persons by intention. Yes, but that's correct.
Okay. And so you, in effect, let me mute.
Let me ask a question while Rem is busy. I'm Alex Yakovlev from Moscow. I'm working with syntaxes and contexts in database working group of St. Petersburg State University. My question is, why you are trying to save the scope of context of each operation and don't use semantics of each operation like transferring of money, adding money, applying percentage or any kind of other domain?
Okay. It's not one context per transaction, but it's one context. For example, let's take the scope 05 or 07 as a better one. It captures everything that's happening between person B and the organization X and only between those. Now, if I would model contexts by the type or by the operation, such as a transfer or something else, I would lose the opportunity to delete in isolation only the interaction between person B and organization X. So if person B leaves the or disassociates from the service offered by organization X and asks X to delete all of the data, it should not be depending on the ability to delete any other transfer. So the contexts are modeled after what I believe to be the real world relationships. So I basically take the situation as I see it in the wild and transfer it to the structuring of the ledger.
So am I right that it is a kind of GDPR oriented approach with a setup that can easily pass the GDPR, but not to do something like change the history of operations with consensus?
Exactly. I don't, for the work that I'm presenting, I don't want to go back in time and change an existing operation because I believe it might invalidate everything that comes afterwards. So, if, for example, if you have a history of transactions, of financial transactions, and you change the values, you have to be very careful if any other subsequent transactions refer to balances. So, changing one single transaction back in time is possible, but it requires very strict choice of the semantics within the transaction. So it's like idempotency in a way. Maybe not 100% comparable, but if you are if I would try to, which I didn't want for this work, but if I would try to claim that I can go back in time and change things, I would have to devise a whole bunch of restrictions to be imposed on the semantics. And I don't think this is this would be applicable to existing ledgers in a similarly, how should I put it, transparent way as what I'm suggesting. My intention is to see whether an existing ledger can be rewritten or redesigned in the without changing too much.
Yeah, I get. Thanks.
But basically, one very nice thing about your question is that you triggered my reflections on whether truncation or just rollover of data should be based on other design of contexts. I will give it a second thought afterwards. Thanks.
So, actually, I will contact you via email because I worked a lot on.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks.
Sorry about the previous interruption. Just going back to the question I was asking. So, how is the deletion happening within the context?
Basically, the whole context gets cut off. And the idea of the context is that it's isolated by itself in such a way that it does not impact other contexts. And it's, of course, it's a rather radical thing. There's no way to partially delete data. It can be, if one, for example, wants to refine it or to make it fine granular, then one would have to change the scope. For example, create one scope for each year instead of one scope for all years of scope 07. But for now, to keep it very simple and very understandable, there's just one scope for one relationship.
Got it. So you're not doing anything fine grain. You're saying if something on the chain needs to be deleted, I mean, I'm just trying to map it back. And I think Mohan has the same question. You know, you're familiar probably with the fabric channels. So if you think of a particular channel for each context, then that whole channel gets dropped.
Yeah. Thanks for the question to Mohan too. Now, I've in the paper that I mentioned that you sent around, I discussed the relationship to channels. I intentionally keep the idea or the presentation very simple to advocate for a nonlinear ledger structure. And the issue with channels, please correct me if I'm wrong, that they are they're a good way to structure business relationships, but just designing them to align with non-organizations is not within the scope. So channels, as far as I remember, always refer to a subset of organizations, but they cannot be, or they can, but they are not meant to be designed around people-to-organization relationship. You could, of course, for the same subset of organizations, create many channels. I believe this is possible. But the question is whether this scales. I don't know.
You're right, Michael. So, and in fact, I think that is one of the biggest challenges you're likely to face with the approach you're proposing. At least I hear that just the channels where it's a channel per organization, if you will, is a scalability issue and a operational problem of managing many different channels. So if you were to create, quote unquote, a context with you know, all the combinatorial subchains with participants, then the problem is just so much worse.
Understand?
Can I ask a more basic question, which is, when the deletion happens, let's say scope 07 gets deleted, what actually happens?
The first thing is who has to consent and who should have the opportunity to veto such deletion. So the first step is that the deletion is, say, announced or opened for voting. Depending on the technology, someone acts as PB or on behalf of PB, and it should not happen that deletion is happening against the wish of PB or against lawful claims and entitlements of organization X. So,
but
those two parties.
No other organization gets involved in this consensus. Is that what you're saying? Like, Org Y wouldn't be able to opine on the deletion of scope 07.
That's exactly true. That's the whole sense of isolating contexts.
Okay, so when the deletion happens, what happens to that data? It is deleted from Org X's repositories?
Yes.
And it is also deleted from, if PB has got these, then they are deleted from there too.
If PB hosts, depending on the technology, if PB is hosting a replicate of the data, yes, then it has to delete it too.
Let me ask a connected question to what Vipin was asking. I thought that in the paper that you suggested, that actually all the other nodes might also store the entire chain, or are you thinking the contexts are also complete subchains like channels where only certain nodes will store them and so forth?
Both things are potentially possible, and I think it can be the question of privacy or of data limitation, and it should be not fixed for one or the other. So in this case that it's a Hyperledger Fabric channel-like thing, so only the scope 7 is a channel-like structure limited to only certain participating organizations such as Org X and maybe someone acting on behalf of PB or maybe PB itself, then if they only store it, they work out the consensus and then they delete it. If for the others, option, the other organizations or the other members of the network also store a replica or a copy. And once they have the outcome of the consensus, then they have organizationally, they have to comply and to delete. Now, the question is, of course, why should anyone else on the ledger store the data that is not relevant to them? One reason is, of course, fail safety and redundancy and everything else. And if this data is stored by them in an encrypted way, so they do physically host data, but they cannot read or understand it, then it's not a danger if they would, against the rules, keep it after consensus decide that everyone has to delete the data. So I believe this is open, or I did not impose one of these two options in the paper, as far as I remember. And I believe personally that it very much depends on the specific technology and implementation. Because potentially, at some point, Scope 7 can be redesigned in terms of accessibility when organization X decides that it wants to give readable or clear access to the data to organization whatever. Now they can renegotiate the channel-like access and re-encrypt it if need be, and then suddenly some other organization becomes a reading participant of this. And then, and I think this should be left open at this point, personally, and I don't see a problem at this point.
Well, essentially, it sounds like some form of sharding, some form of separation, but then the cross-shard interactions become very problematic. Like, for example, scope 07 is the transfers 20 ETH to OrgX. Now, OrgX takes that 20 ETH and it's then takes it and into scope 5 and transfers that 20 ETH to OrgY. So what happens when, you know, that whole thing disappears? There is no longer, let's say, a proof that OrgX could transfer 20 ETH that it possessed because of scope 07 to scope 05. I don't get it. I mean, something is, I must be blocked in my mind about something.
There are, I hope I understand your question now. I'm trying also to catch all the questions which come in the chat, and I'll get back up to them too. But first to the question that has just been raised. If there is a dependency in, say, transaction B4, for example, on something that's in transaction B1, then we have to look at first and in how is that expressed. Now, if yes, here it's the transaction, they capture not the end state, but rather the changes of state. So the deltas in a way. That the thing is, if you remove the changes, the history, then the world state, let's call it this way, still remains with everyone. You don't have to rewrite the world state as long as or the dependency between the transactions located in different scopes very much depends on what is semantically possible in the language or in the expressions that are provided by the implementation. I have not applied this consistently to Ethereum, for example, and I did not apply this consistently to what is possible for in Hyperledger Fabric with this state and the get state, put state, and so on operations. I agree that this might need a bit more work. This is why the paper and all the presentation are titled Two Word. I decided to release it early before it's perfect. I think this is more useful than to wait maybe half a year until I get time to get back to defining these things. So if I would have to define it formally or more stringently, I would need to choose one single technology, and I didn't want to do this at this point. And I also see the idea of micro ledgers. Of course, this is something I believe which is immediately coming to the mind when you see this. It's basically putting everything in a separate ledger and then deleting it. The problem that I see here that I've also written into the paper is that with current technologies, this becomes unmanageable. And in many cases, it's breaking the whole idea of having one central truth in a way. So in this image, and maybe I jump back to the backup, in this particular image, you can still refer to other transactions when analyzing and when doing sanity checks or reconstructing the world state. Now, I've also looked into non-linear ledgers. So for example, if you have something like this, which is influenced by IOTA and others, and they have many to one relationships. So how to transfer this into a tree of isolated contexts? And this can be done. This is now subdivided into hard links in a way, or the dashed ones. And the dashed ones, they capture the confirms relationships, as again said, defined by IOTA's tangle, which is a directed acyclic graph. I fully agree that this needs more work. And the whole reason of me being today in this call is that I would love to find maybe more support or more ideas, other views, or criticism, of course, about how this needs to be addressed.
Well, I think the main point is that when you construct this presentation, it would be good to see, okay, this is how the Genesis block is created. And then obviously you're saying that it doesn't branch. Then what happens when you delete, if you show it very clearly? There's other DAG ledgers like Hedera, Hashgraph. I'm not really sure the difference between that and... but I get the point that you're trying to collapse that into this context type approach. Even the tangle is now resolved into this context.
The chaining as part of the word blockchain as a technology or as a pattern to create both integrity, non-repudiation, and also time ordering. And the fact that everything is signed comes with it, of course. But basically, I try to look at all this quality assuring measures and to apply them in a way so that I can delete a well-defined subset without losing all of this. Now, of course, there are other combinations. This is the best one I could come up with so far. And the missing or point is to find a way to prove that the side effects can be managed. Now, that, as I said, very much depends on the technology and the implementation.
So, Michael, going back to a question that Vipin was asking earlier, let's take the case just concretely of what he suggested, like user A transferred 10 ETH to org X, and then org X did a separate transaction transferring it to org Y. Now, if user A asks his data to be deleted, then that original transaction disappears because of that deletion being processed, right? Assuming that all that workflow goes through. Now, what we are now missing is the provenance of that transaction to know that now, the transaction that org Y, the current state is still showing that org Y is a new owner, but now, you've lost the ability to go back and prove from the Genesis block going up that org X is now the rightful owner because we can't trace it back to the origin. So,
and this is where I want the checkpointing to come into play. And
So that's the question I was asking. So, you know, either you need some kind of state-proof checkpointing as a substitute, or you have to have an explicit state proof for the deleted record or the deleted subchain. So
absolutely.
So, you know, one of those two mechanisms, either just because it's a basic characteristics of the chain, or, you know, of course, it's somewhat lower trust, but because an independent third party can't verify everything, they have to trust whatever state proof it is. So, but, you know, depending on the trust model, that might be acceptable based on the context. But, you know, you need one of those mechanisms.
Sure. So basically, I agree. And I also, I think I put it in the paper saying when you prune, you need to ensure that the state is not being lost. So when you do, for one of the cases beyond GDPR that the paper discusses is to say, when you want to do some the yearly balancing or rollover or something, you should be able to do this. But while doing it, it's not just necessary to have a checkpoint, but it's also necessary to have an agreement from those affected by the pruning. And this is where this other thing, which is not visible in the picture, comes in: the design of how the consensus to delete is being done. And this heavily depends on whether the specific technology has an active representation of a person, such as where the person is represented by a key pair or an address, or whether that's a blockchain technology or ledger technology where a person is just an entry and cannot act on its own. So those two basic large different cases need to be accounted for. And then using checkpointing, we are able to prune and to delete subcontexts.
Okay. But I think the basic problem that I'm still top of mind is still just the scalability, right? Because if you're now scaling with subchains, with exponential, you know, increase and combinatorially with every new participant you're adding, now that seems kind of intractable in my mind.
I tend to see this more optimistically because I believe if you look at the sheer data size of a scope, it's small. So the number of elements within a scope, it's maybe handful, so 5 or maybe 10 in the worst case, but no, it's not 100. So the scope itself is a tiny piece of data, even including the pointer to the genesis block. It's still extremely small. Now the number of the scopes is also the more transactions are within a branch, the lesser is the proportion of the scope to the rest of the data. So if we assume that we have, say, 3% overhead in terms of space, but at the other end, we are enabled to delete every one transaction chain in 20, then at the end of the day, we gain space. So the balance between additional overheads through scopes and the ability to remove data, I think they will be decided in a way that at the end of the day, scopes help you save data in the long run. Yeah, not when there are just one transaction per scope, but when there are 20.
Yeah, I guess I'm more concerned about the operational overhead rather than the storage overhead. And I was thinking in terms of the problems that, you know, we hear complaints about in terms of channels, as an example. But if from the way you describe it, you're saying it's possible to design it with reducing the overhead, whether it's storage or operational.
Yeah. Usually you would not search or data in a linear ledger. You would have a optimized index like site structure, which is not authoritative, but which is there as a site helper. And that data also needs to be managed. Now, if it's in memory, it we can as well keep the scope structure or a few those heavily used in memory. And even if, when looking them up from permanent storage, if they are sorted or if there's indexing between them helping us find them, I think it would not be so big. As I openly say myself, this hasn't been implemented beyond, you know, very simple things. I have not applied it to a real scaling ledger. This is something that I see as being necessary to prove this is working. But before I choose a ledger, I want to hear from people with other experiences or longer experiences how they see it.
As well, when you add an org or add a participant, how does that happen? Do you link another sub context chain to the genesis?
Yeah, but lazily. So those in gray, if you, well, the here there's no additional org coming in, but if you imagine that there is, for example, person C coming in and they that person interacts with organization X, then you create a scope number 16, for example, if they're just numbered in a sequence, and then there is a new scope. And the only precondition of for doing this is to check whether an existing scope is in place. And this can be done rather quickly if the scopes are indexed, not on ledger, but off ledger. So you just check there's no such scope and then you create a new one. It should be compared with the conventional write consensus, including the endorsements, I think this would be blazingly fast. It does not require you to traffic or I believe it does not require you to have a lot of network traffic or something. So it happens locally. If everyone has the implementation of the logic shared within the same version, and that logic which governs how scopes are found or created, if that's the same logic, then none of the nodes needs to communicate with others about the scopes. All they need to communicate is about the transactions. And if I give it a second thought and we look at deletion as an operation which informs many nodes, then this deletion can agree that the requesting party, which triggers the consensus and which also sends around the result of the consensus to delete, sends along a check sum or any other confirming information based on which the node running participant can check that they delete a scope with identical number and contents of the blocks. So there are many sub ideas that I have of how to engineer the deletion in a clean and reliable way, which is way beyond what I put into this presentation. But basically, the overheads, and this is what you're asking, the operating overheads of creating scopes, finding scopes, appending to scopes, and finally deleting the scope, including the chain transaction, I believe this is worth it.
Got it. As well, what happens to cross-scope transactions?
This is something that I always have to ask back. What would be a cross-scope transaction? Can you provide me maybe with an example? Because I believe that each transaction can be uniquely put into one and just one context. And a transaction that refers semantically to a transaction in the other scope, I really need to see an example of this because I believe it shouldn't happen.
One of examples is corporate actions or any kind of information sent by a railway as instruction to exact departments when you are doing broadcasts and it is direct, but it is broadcast and or each of these operations, you need to have a unique channel. Then you have a combinatorial boom when you have a number of nodes factorial of scopes.
Okay. It's an interesting example, but to me, a broadcast is not a write operation. So broadcast is not in the read operation, of course, but it's not an operation that is synchronously confirmed in any way. It's a fire and forget information. So I don't see how broadcasts would have to be stored on ledger. The only thing that can be stored on ledger is that this broadcast has been sent to, but what cannot, what shouldn't be recorded on ledger is whether a certain party has received it. When you need to have a multiple recipients of a single message, or say we create a publish subscribe pattern based on a blockchain, then each single subscribe or each single confirmation of receiving a message has to be designed anyway. It won't I haven't formalized it, right? But just strictly adhering to what broadcast is to me, it would not appear on a blockchain. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me.
By broadcast, I mean, for example, changing from summertime to wintertime on some of parts of your railway operates, for example. So once the time has been changed, all railway schedules need to be changed.
Basically, they don't. As far as I remember, the system that I that do this, they operate in UTC, and the local display time is a different thing. So the schedules, train schedules, they do not change on this day. What happens is the operation, which is rather funny because train just might stand there for 1 hour and then continued running afterwards. It depends on the direction of time change, but the information as such, I get the intention of your question, and I need to give it a second thought. I just failed to to accept that the time change is an example that applies to a write transaction. Basically, if you shift the clocks in different systems, so you have you send a notification and the systems reply or maybe not, then the question is, how is it, what is the pattern used to do this? And if the pattern is just fire and forget, it does not end up on the blockchain. If the pattern is synchronously or asynchronously confirmed, then it can be there on the blockchain. But the explosion that you are mentioning is because I'm not sure this should be on the blockchain, but yeah.
I agree with you, Michael, that a broadcast problem is a different problem. But I did bring up the one where we transfer 20 ETHs to ORGX and then PB transfer 20 ETHs and then ORGX transfer it to ORGY. So now you're saying possibly this could be another context with ORGX, comma PB, comma ORGY.
Yeah, maybe we can just work through, Michael, how does that actually work? If we take that use case of A to B to C, or rather, I guess, A to X to B, then how does that follow in all the different scopes?
What do you mean by follow?
There's a transfer operation from A to X, and a subsequent transfer operation from X to Y. Now, I presume the first transaction would be in one scope, and the second transaction is going to be in a second scope. Is that the way it is, or how does it? How does Y know that it's the first transaction is valid if it's not in if it does not belong in that scope?
The problem in this document, for example, is that looks like all those ether, like for example, if you take scope 5, transfers 15 ETHs to org Y. How does org X even get the 15th? We don't know. You know, because otherwise, you know, if you have the blockchain, then you know you can trace it back all the way. But now these are standalone contexts.
Yeah, but the thing is that the shared genesis block, and this is why these are not different micro blockchains or micro ledgers, but a single one, as long as we can verify the different transactions, as long as they are not deleted, everyone can see. Now, even if those are on different scopes are not necessarily read restrictions. Scopes are more of deletion restrictions, or maybe write restrictions. Now, this is two different things. So we can construct a rights management for write operations in a very different way from the consensus of delete operations. Now, scope 7, for example, if it gets deleted, of course, any other transactions relating to the transaction that's deleted will lose the history, and this is where checkpointing comes into play. So what I have to ensure is the consistency, but this does not have to be at the level of the history. It can be, it has to be done only when the information is, I have to check, to choose the words carefully, as long as the balances in this example is really dependent. So it does not have to be this way. As once you choose the semantics of the transaction to be the end state and not the change of state. In this example, everything yellow is just the changes of state. It does not include, unfortunately, but intentionally, does not include the end result. So the set of inputs and outputs, the read set and the write set that we have as part of the transactions can or should be self-contained in such a way that it's independent of the ability to delete. It's possible to see purely for a transaction on its own what the end result of its execution has been. Once we introduce this, maybe this is naively a thought of mine, but we might not even need checkpointing. It should be there because I believe it's useful, but if we introduce into the transactions beyond what's shown in this slide, the formalized or the precise outcome, for example, for B4, when we say, and afterwards, org X has a balance of 120 Ether. Then everyone else following up on this will take, once the balance of org X is changed, will have the start point, say in B5, which is a bad example, say B10, will start with saying, before this transaction, org X has 120 Ether. And because this transaction will be confirmed, even without before, which was the transaction ensuring the end balance of 120 Ether. So the before one that has been deleted will not impact the trustworthiness of subsequent transactions. But this requires putting, as I said, the end result of a transaction in any trusted way. Now, this is what basically checkpointing is. Now, choosing the granularity of checkpointing down to a single transaction or deferring it to the point in time where a scope is deleted is something I haven't decided upon yet. I just think of this nature of a ledger as something that keeps the history, which is an audit log. And at the same time, in audit log, such a, where the concatenation takes place. And one of the things that I also thought about when doing this, do we need concatenation? Why can't we just have individual transactions signed as part of endorsement and ordered through precise timestamps, for example, and just let the concatenation go, because the concatenation as such was designed for good reasons in original work. But what happens if we just remove concatenation altogether? So this is another way to think about it.
The other way would be for you to, for example, do it in a lazy way, meaning only when you delete it, you need to, if that money has been transferred out, then somehow create that world state at that point. I don't know.
That's what classic chair pointing would do, periodically or on good on occasions. Demand. Yeah.
Great discussion, but we are actually 15 minutes over our time. So I want to be
respectful Thanks.
Of people's time. Sounds like we are only partway through the first discussion. Michael, how much time do you need for this one? Should we just have that this continue on the next time? What?
I would basically say that it's more, or it makes more sense to split this into two parts. So the other topic is partitioning. In 2 weeks from now, I have to check my calendar. I would say that most people have planned something for the time after this slot, so probably it's better to do it on a different occasion. So it's December 2nd. If nothing else comes up and yes. No one else takes right. the slot, I could do this.
No one else has the slot, so you can take it. So the question is this topic complete enough, or do you want to continue this?
I'm happy that to have this discussion. Honestly, that's nothing that I get every day, this type of input. So I'm just scrolling through the history and chat to make sure we have answered all this.
What else did you want? How many more slides did you have? And what?
Well, this is basically it. I kept it very compact. You saw the conclusion. You saw the example for a DAG, and this is it. So the slides.
So
I said, I tried.
I think people got a good idea, and maybe we can come back with questions. The next time around for the next topic, then we can maybe have a follow up if needed, or we can have the discussion over email on the thread. I think there was one email question that someone had posted. So you can respond to that in the email thread.
Thankful, Kamlesh, for the point. I have not seen this coming, the snapshot feature, so I will have a look if it's public or all right. All right. I think I have no questions to the audience, and thanks for attending.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
All right. Sorry it took me some time to fix Zoom.
No worries. It happens to all of us. All right.
All right.
Thank you, folks. We'll see Michael. We'll see you again on December 2nd.
Yeah.
And let's continue the
Thank
conversation
you.
On
Thank
email.
You.
Bye.